Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for May 16th, 2014. Today I have a rather brilliant intelligence experience for the show. Robert David Steele is former Marine CIA case officer and U.S. co-founder of the U.S. Marine Corps intelligence activity, and he's a man on a mission. But it's a mission that frightens the U.S. intelligence establishment to its core. He has 18 years experience working across the U.S. intelligence community, followed by 20 more years in commercial intelligence and training. Steele's exemplary career has spanned almost all areas of the clandestine world. He started off as a Marine Corps infantry and intelligence officer, and after 4 years on active duty, he joined the CIA for about a decade before co-founding the Marine Corps intelligence activity, where he was deputy director and widely recognized as the leader of the Open Source Intelligence Unit, OSINT, and that paradigm. Steele went on to write the handbooks on open source intelligence for NATO, the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, and the U.S. Special Operations Forces. He has personally trained 7,500 officers from over 66 countries in open source methods. Now, the bad news is that he contacted me this morning and let me know that he had a conflict with the show tonight. Well, the good news is I was able to pre-record him here just a couple hours ago before the show so he could have his dinner engagement barbecue with his son returning from college right on schedule. So without ado, I'm going to go ahead and cue up that file and our interview from just a couple hours ago with Robert David Steele.
Thank you so much for being with us on Cosmic Love tonight.
Well, it's an honor for me.
I'm really grateful we were able to work it out with our schedules. And Robert, I've given a little bit of an introduction, but I wanted to reference the Guardian article that I provided a link to in your introduction. And it is really a phenomenal article. And it says that, in summary, that you are a U.S. co-founder of the U.S. Marine Corps intelligence activity with 18 years experience working across the U.S. intelligence community, followed by 20 more years in commercial intelligence and training, and you have personally trained 7,500 officers from over 66 countries in open source methods. So what are these open source methods, as explained in your book, The Open Source Everything Manifesto, Transparency, Truth, and Trust?
Well, let me first off say that Nafiz Ahmed has not gotten enough credit for that really phenomenal interview that he did with me. And he's a gifted author in his own right.
I've read him before. He is really extraordinary.
Right. And so for me, Nafiz Ahmed is the guy who I owe a debt to, because although my book was published in 2012, the Open Source Everything Manifesto, it wasn't until Nafiz Ahmed did his Guardian thing. And he's since left the Guardian. He's with Vice now, and it's a total loss to the Guardian.
Yeah.
But he really put it on the map and got people to start to realize that open power, which is the ultimate open
yeah.
power is about electoral reform. It's about extreme democracy.
Yeah. And we're talking about also open society.
Well, you're right. In fact, I'm putting together a conference, and I won't be announcing it publicly until the 1st of June. I'm confirming all of my speakers first. But the first day will be open hardware. Actually, the first day will be open source intelligence with Arno Reuser and Rand Hock. The second day will be open hardware featuring the Global Village Construction Set folks, the open source ecology. Uh-huh. The third day will be open source software featuring Jen Zemke from Crisis Mappers and Stephen Arnold from CyberOSINT and a bunch of others. And then the last day will be open society. And that's the day when we're going to focus about open ethics and open culture. And certainly I'm with you on truth and reconciliation. Love conquers all. Essentially, violence and hate are a means by which the few enslave the many. And that's what we've got to get away from.
Well, I understand that the real issue here is open systems versus closed systems. And, you know, open circles are virtuous and closed circles are vicious.
Well, I agree. And one of the problems, I think, and I'm a huge fan of Will Durant. His 1916 doctoral thesis is now available as Philosophy and the Social Problem, the annotated edition. And what it boils down to is that when the public allows someone else to decide what their education will be, they get turned into rote slaves. They learn things by rote. They don't learn to think for themselves. So I really agree with Durant, who points out that Plato said that the acme of skill, the ultimate responsibility for any authentic leader — we don't have any authentic leaders today that I know of. Lee Iacocca wrote a great book, Where Have All the Leaders Gone? We have no authentic leaders. They're all corrupt. But the role for the authentic leader is to assure the education of the public, because it is the self-educated, fully educated public that provides the virtue for society from the bottom up.
And that process, actually, of self-education is going mainstream with open systems on the internet now. I mean, you know, whatever you want to know, wherever you want to go, you know, self-learning, self-healing, you know, self-correcting, self-governing systems, you know, database models of self-perfecting database standards for what's working best in any field or category. And, of course,
It's getting there. And, in fact, I really like to remind people that we're coming full circle back to the wisdom of our indigenous forebears.
Yeah.
The oral history tradition and the tradition of elders teaching the young and the tradition of it takes a village to raise a child, all of this is how people transmitted wisdom in the past. And I just finished reading a fantastic book by John D. Caputo. The title is Truth, Philosophy, and Transit. And one of the things that he and Joan Blades, who's now running Living Room Conversations, have really got me excited about, and I would also credit Tom Attlee and Jim Ruff. Tom wrote The Tao of Democracy, and Jim Ruff wrote Society's Breakthrough, is truth happens in conversation. And if you cannot have a conversation, then you are not a civilization and you are not a society.
That's true. Yeah. So more truth, easier and faster. How do we do that?
Well, part of the problem is so many of us have dropped out. I've been asked by coffee party members and others, you know, how do we get the citizen reengaged? And I fear that many of our citizens have fallen prey to distractions, to drugs, to being dumbed down, and to a loss of hope. I mean, Obama was almost the stake in the heart of society because he sold this false hope. And I really want to emphasize, I have no problem with the black half of Obama. It's the white half that troubles me. He has sold out. And so Obama basically gave hope a bad name. Now, I am the champion for open power, electoral reform, and I'd certainly send your listeners to tinyurl.com/openpower, where the O and the P are capitalized and it's conflated, one word, open power. I've spent a lot of time on this since I first started with Occupy in 2011, and then I ran briefly for president in 2012, and I put together bigbatusa.org, which is where the best ideas from everybody else. I'm not an original guy. What I do well is integrate the best ideas from others. And so what this boils down to is the public has to take charge of its future. And its future begins with saying no to banks, saying no to corporations, saying no to government and elective wars, saying no to taxes that are paying for elective wars. And I think we're getting there. I actually feel very, very positive about the immediate future of America and the rest of the world. I think it's going to be 2020 before most people feel that sense of hope and happiness. But I see it coming.
Well, I really sense that there's a disintegration going on in some regards and integration going on in other regards. And there's just a lot of chaos in between the two, you know. And it's manifesting. When I say that, there's a certain stability that certain people live in, you know, where they, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, you know, and they don't see everything's normal and okay. But there's a lot of people waking up, and I just did an article on what's going on with the frequency shift, the energy shift, the Schumann resonance of the Earth brain waves, and there's just a lot of people waking up, you might say, to a whole another consciousness about everything and thinking more for themselves. And realizing that they've been, so to speak, betrayed in certain regards, but more importantly, having a vision of where things are going with this whole open source movement. When I say movement, it's there's when you referred how you're an integrator, and you know, and I'm the same way since I studied and lectured at Buckminster Fuller's World Game Studies Workshop. You know, the whole concept.
Oh,
the whole
congratulations! I salute you.
That was way back in 1974, but you know the whole systems theory of you know the more you you know and look at things holistically, and I've had four holistic health centers as a naturopath and a professional, and it's the same thing with holistic healing as it is with holistic thinking. You know, I mean, when I say that, you know how to connect the dots, take inventory of your resources, do an interaction matrix of your values. And basically, you know, connect the dots.
Well, I agree with you completely. And in fact, I'll just mention that two of my heroes are Buckminster Fuller and his assistant, Medard Gabel, is still alive today and has done some really phenomenal work with the digital earth game and big ideas.
Really?
Small world, big ideas.
Back when I knew him, his brain was full of logarithms and mescaline.
Well, they're both... wonderful, wonderful people, and I think Medard has a lot more to give. But the other hero of mine is Russell Acuff, who likes to say, stop doing the wrong things right or do the right things. I just critiqued an article by Joseph Stiglitz, who happens to be someone I admire, and he would have my vote to be director of the Office of Management and Budget. But he just put out a series of economic reforms that are nothing more than lipstick on the pig. Because they keep the banks alive.
Yeah.
They keep the monolithic corporations alive. They don't do true cost economics. They don't show the actual health costs and water costs and child labor costs and all these other social diseases that come with the way that we do business today. Now, I'll close this comment by saying that I designed a graphic once on the four sides of holistic health. And it was individual health, environmental health, alternative and natural cures, and then medical and pharmaceutical remediation. And of course, you know as well as anyone, we are basically perverting the entire system by focusing only on the latter. Now, I think we need to do much, much more about individual and social responsibility and alternative cures, including banana oil for breast cancer.
So where do you see this going with this process? When I say that, I'm looking at there's an evolution revolution going on very quickly. I mean, things are changing in many regards across the board, and they're getting better in some regards and worse in others. But there's this massive flux in process now because of the internet, the instant everywhere interactive knowledge power revolution. And there's a process where some people say, you know, we just got to end these old institutions. And other people say we've got to have a transformation or transition. Other people say you can't retrofit old systems that don't work.
Well,
you have to create wholly new systems. And what would those systems look like? So as Bucky Fuller says, you just create new systems and make the old systems obsolete.
Well, first off, let me point your readers, I mean your listeners, to three books. I've reviewed Russell Brand's book on revolution and my review is a summary review. I've also reviewed Chris Hedges' book, Wages of Rebellion. And I was very, I gave it fulsome praise, but I was also sharply critical of his conclusion. Now, I did my first master's thesis on predicting revolution, and the single most popular graphic on my website, Phi Beta Iota, and it's easy to find just by searching for the following string, the single most popular graphic is called Graphic, Preconditions of Revolution in the USA Today. And I've got all those preconditions highlighted in red. And the point that I'm leading up to, two points actually. The first point is that revolutions don't happen when all the preconditions exist. They happen when a precipitant occurs. Think Tunisian fruit seller. Think Kent State. Think the public suddenly knowing with absolute certainty that the Boston bombing and 9/11 were false flag attacks enabled by the U.S. government. When that kind of aha moment occurs, then yeah. Every politician is toast. Now, here's the second point, and I credit Chris Hedges with this. He points out that revolutions don't succeed when there's a mass movement. They succeed when the cop on the beat and the individual soldier stop obeying elite orders and stop defending the elite, just like the Berlin Wall came down when mm-hmm. the Stasi guards stopped closing the border, okay? Well, we have oath keepers in the United States, and I think we have millions and millions of good people serving in the police and in the armed forces where I served. And I believe we're getting very close to where the uniformed personnel start saying no to illegal orders.
Well, that understood my big concern with all these, so to speak, leaders, and I put Foster Gamble and the Thrive Movement in the same category. The solution, I mean, when things, so to speak, when the revolution, you know, where's it going? I mean, how is homeostasis, like homeostasis in the body, checks and balances, going to self-regulate a process so it doesn't, you know, just totally destroy civility as we know it?
Well, one of the reasons I'm big on truth and reconciliation is because I think the elites need to have an exit strategy. And there's no good that will come of burning down mansions in Connecticut or assassinating any of these bankers. They are what they are because we allowed our government to lose its integrity. So I did a book on election 2008, Lipstick on the Pig. It's free online. And I wrote a preface to it called Paradigms of Failure. Essentially, all of the checks and balances in society have failed. Our academics are insipid. Our think tanks are corrupt. Our media is beyond belief. The New York Times is a national disgrace.
Yeah.
And so what we have here is no checks and balances. Now, I believe in Hegel's thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And in fact, one of the things that Caputo talks about is how life really is constant reincarnation. So what I think is going to happen is we're going to start seeing some states like Vermont and Hawaii and Oregon and Washington basically go their own way. And they're going to begin nullifying all federal orders. They're going to begin expelling federal units. And they're going to say, no, we're doing this our way. And if you don't like it, we're going to secede. I wrote a post today that as an editor that basically said, I believe that Quebec, Scotland, Hawaii, and Vermont will be independent sovereign states within 10 years. And that's where we're going. We can no longer afford the corruption of centralized top-down control.
Is there any way we can all hang together rather than all hang separately?
Well, yes, I really like that question because I love America the Beautiful and I absolutely support the Constitution. And I would point out that most of our flag officers are betraying the Constitution because the Constitution calls for us to defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And not both the flag officers and the Federal Bureau of Investigation are not defending our Constitution against domestic enemies. The way to hang together is to restore integrity to the electoral process and to the government and therefore to commerce and society. So electoral reform for me is the one fight that we can all hang together on, and it's the one fight we can win. Everything else, including climate change and getting money out of politics, is a distraction.
I agree. I've been actually, and I've been framing it with my blog over the last couple of years in terms of interactive mass-to-mass telecommunications. In other words, the internet capabilities are instant and everywhere and could represent people directly, but we've got a system, horse and buggy legislative system, whereby K Street is in the ears of Wall Street, and K Street's in the ears of our congressman 24/7, and we get to vote every few years.
Well, you know, I've worked with a bunch of staffers and some senators and congressmen, and I'm pleased to have senators to have written the forewords to two of my books. But I'll tell you something. The big eye-opener for me was the day that I realized that it was not the lobbyists and not the corporations and the bank that were bribing Congress. It was Congress that was shaking down the lobbyists and the banks. It is our two-party tyranny, and I credit Teresa Amato, whose wonderful book, The Grand Illusion, The Myth of Voter Choice in a Two-Party Tyranny, is I think, a trendsetter. We have a two-party tyranny that has been offered a chance 9 times to mandate the open ballots for all other parties. I had to run for president to find out that we have 8 accredited parties in the United States of America. The Greens, the Constitution Party, the Greens, the Libertarians, Natural Law, Reform, Socialist, and then Democratic and Republic. And 9 times, the last 4 times introduced by Ron Paul, Congress has refused to mandate open ballot access for all accredited parties and independents because the two-party tyranny wants to stay a two-party tyranny. These are the same people that neutralized the League of Women Voters and took the debates away from the League of Women Voters because those fine ladies had the temerity to include third, fourth, and fifth parties and to refuse to provide the questions in advance.
Wow.
We lack integrity across the board.
Yeah,
and that's what I want to restore.
And the public never hears about that. I mean, how many people knows that?
Well, part of the problem is the League of Women Voters lost their own integrity. They let it happen. Had I been president of the League of Women Voters, I would have had an immediate sex moratorium across the country.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take...
Phyllis, you don't get laid until we get our debates back.
It's going to take that kind of, mass awakening or critical mass or 100th monkey effect when there's just enough people that are just clear on, the tyranny. And when I say that, none dare call it tyranny, or treason.
It is, in fact, treason because it's killing the country. And I would tell you, I think integrity is contagious. It only takes one person to stand up. I mean, I have a simple example. The U.S. Navy and the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force have so many examples of a lack of integrity. So I guess I won't go into the details, but the bottom line here is that what we have right now, there's an excellent book called The Cheating Culture, Why Most Americans Cheat to Get Ahead. And what has happened here is we have lost our integrity as a country. We've lost our integrity down to the neighborhood level. And so what is needed now is for citizens to realize that integrity, transparency, truth, and trust, these are the subtitles to my book, The Open Source Everything Manifesto. Transparency, truth, and trust are actually beneficial to society. They create wealth. Secrecy and corruption steal wealth from the public.
Now, it's the old open systems versus closed systems.
It is, and Alvin Toffler is a friend of mine. He wrote a chapter about me called The Future of the Spy in War and Anti-War in 1993. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's one of the reasons I came out from undercover, because after he wrote that chapter, CIA decided that there was no reason for me not to come out from undercover. And so I've had the privilege of spreading the gospel of open sources. My most famous soundbite was "Don't send a spy where a schoolboy can go." But the key point here is that I have been a former spy saying we should use open sources rather than a librarian saying we should use open sources.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you basically kind of led the curve to where the insiders or whistleblowers were coming out, and basically the truth tellers
are
coming
out. Well, I've never been a whistleblower. I have never betrayed my secrecy oath. I have always been a loyal serving patriot, but I do have to say that I regard the whistleblowers out of NSA as real patriots who have paid the supreme sacrifice. They've lost their livelihood.
Yep. Yeah.
Drake and Binney and Snowden. And eventually I would like to see whistleblowers given retirements equal to that of presidents. But let me go back to Alvin Toffler. He's the one who said that information is unique as a tangible good because it can be shared and its value increases with sharing. And that's really an important concept. We're living in a proprietary world right now where essentially we have contrived scarcity. Another book that I recommend to your listeners is by Peter Lindbach called Stop Thief. It's a really fantastic history of the enclosure of the commons and the criminalization of private behavior, including subsistence.
The oxymoronic value of scarcity.
Exactly right. And Richard Wolff, I credit him also. He's written a wonderful book called Occupy the Economy. I think Richard Wolff is one of our most gifted populist economists today. And I certainly urge people to buy his book and listen to his lectures on YouTube.
Well, I really think that 2015 is the year of integration and in the face of disintegration. The only solution to disintegration is integration, and it's happening so much more because of the internet. And I will say, the interactive aspects of social networks is really involving and evolving, consciousness within specific fields, and they're expanding out with more of an integrative, holistic, that's part of the phenomena. What's going on with what I call the frequency shift? People are looking more in wholes. And Bucky talked about this. All species and nations that became extinct did so because of over specialization and under adaptability to whole systems.
You're absolutely right. And I'll have to read up more on this frequency shift. But I'll tell you, the bottom line for me is that I believe that in 2015 it would be possible. Paul Ray and Sherry Ruth Anderson have written a wonderful book called The Cultural Creatives, How 50 Million People Are Changing the World. And that book was written several years ago. And I Skyped with him a few weeks ago, and he said that the number is now up to 80 million. Now, imagine 80 million conscious American voters each donating $10 to a democracy fund. That's $800 million. Between that and social media and blog radio, there is no question in my mind but that we could occupy the home offices and front lawns of every senator and congressman this summer and force the passage of the Electoral Reform Act of 2015 in time to elect an independent executive and a sufficiency of small party and independent members of Congress to break the back of the two-party tyranny. That's my ambition.
Yep. Well, the way the system is now, if there was a third party, you would probably use to split the conservative vote to get Hillary elected.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I champion eight different electoral reforms. We do need instant runoffs. Because, I think it's a travesty. The idea that Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton might be the candidates for me is the ultimate depiction of the death of American democracy.
Yeah.
This is two criminal families running against each other.
Yeah.
So I believe, I haven't given up on 2016. I believe it's possible, and I've written about this. I've actually posted my dream cabinet, and the presidential ticket for me would be Angus King and Jill Stein or Bill Bradley and Cynthia McKinney. There are any number of combinations, but the key is they have to force through electoral reform in 2015 because under current law, you can't announce a cabinet in advance of election. You're not allowed to promise a job to anybody in advance of election. Whereas I believe you should not be qualified to be elected president until you have both announced your cabinet and published a balanced budget.
Yeah.
And that would be made the law by the new Electoral Reform Act of 2015.
Well, I have the sense that where it's going eventually is not going to be a person or a president. It's going to be a process that will, an interactive communication process, you know, the Web 3.0 beyond the current Web 2.0, which is interactive, that Facebook kind of has become the standard.
Well, that's a very low standard. I really want to say this. Facebook and Twitter, for me, are very low standards.
Yeah. And, of course, I, you know, they know their respective strengths and weaknesses. And I agree that's in process and in flux, too. And I can see where it could be going. Where, again, the Internet revolution was huge globally for the shift of consciousness. And
it's certainly helpful, but I do want to point your listeners to a book by Micah Sifry called "The Big Disconnect: Why the Internet Hasn't Fixed Politics Yet."
Yeah.
We are not only lacking an electoral process that has integrity; we're also lacking an open source activist toolkit. And my most recent book, which is a Kindle book, is called Open Power, Electoral Reform Act of 2015 and the Open Source Activist Toolkit. And for a while there, it was number one in the civics category at Amazon. What we really need to do is create open source tools that allow activists to share information, to do fact checking, to confront politicians and corporate leaders that are constantly lying to them, lying to all of us. And finally, we need tools that allow us to aggregate our citizen power. Now, I agree with you. The day is going to come when at the line item level, legislation will be on a national ballot. And citizens will discuss and vote on legislation line by line. But that day is not going to come unless we first achieve electoral reform. For me, electoral reform is the single non-negotiable issue to be hashed out in the American public in the next year or so.
Okay. So the political process, again, how we involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness on issues, how we're represented directly or indirectly, all those issues, I mean, obviously are going to shape what's open in a global society. And, I mean, I have this sense that things are moving fast with technological capabilities. Over the years on the Cosmic Lab Show, I've interviewed several guests about quantum science, quantum source field, and I understand that there are some defense intelligence skunk works working with quantum computing in the source field. And, of course, how to mainstream these type of applications, it's like quantum, you know, free energy, you know, from the zero-point energy. It's just like it's not that the technology doesn't exist. It's that it doesn't fit the, what do you call it, corporate tyranny or you know, lockstep status quo, maintaining, you know, systems as they are that are over-specialized and under-adaptable. So then it comes back to, so, you know, how do you mainstream these new breakthroughs in technology and free energy? Holistic healing breakthroughs are phenomenal that are being suppressed. And it's across the board. There's a suppression going on, and it's got to the point where there's so many people aware of this that for the first time there's a sense of, yeah, this is tyranny.
Well, that's a very important milestone. I mean, I was just looking at my library. I wanted to find this book. There's a couple of books I've read. One is called Collapsing Consciously, and the other one I think is called Quantum Jump, but I couldn't find it very quickly. I absolutely believe in the cosmos as an evolving larger being, godlike. And I absolutely believe that we are two-dimensional in a six-dimensional cosmos, if you will. I mean, some people say as many as 26 dimensions. The bottom line for me is we're close to a tipping point. All of the preconditions of revolution exist, but we're lacking a tipping point. I mean, we have this Jade Helm exercise going down now toward Texas and Arizona and a few other states. Yep. And it's entirely possible that Jade Helm will lead to a Kent state on steroids. If I were the president, I would cancel Jade Helm. That is a very unnecessary provocation at a very bad time in our history.
I wrote about that in this article I just did on the frequency shift. And I referenced that the type of frequency shift that that some of these social planners are most worried about is that there is, with this dimensional shift that's going on, again, with the Schumann resonance of the Earth and what's going on in a lot of different people's brain waves, which resonate with the Schumann resonance of the Earth, which has been shifting dramatically and going more into the theta from the alpha, is that a lot of people basically, you know, they're just going nonlinear in their consciousness. And for some people, their egos are on steroids. And we're talking about, in the case of sociopaths or psychopaths at a high level, Jade Helm might have to go in and extract people from communities that are doing crazy things. But, you know, there's other dimensions of it, of course, that there's some people will go off. When I say rebellion, I mean, part of the nature of the revolution is rebelling against tyranny or old systems that no longer serve the purpose for which they were created. But it's getting real, with the frequency shift that's accelerating. Now, the article goes into different dimensions of this, different aspects of this.
Let me point out that 22 veterans a day are committing suicide.
Suicide.
22 yeah. a day. That is an indictment of the president, of Congress, of the media, of the academy. Anybody who doesn't understand that 22 veterans a day committing suicide is the United States of America committing suicide is a moron. This is a really serious, serious symbol of just how far down our country has gone. Now, I tried to teach Jim Clapper, the director of national intelligence, the concept of cognitive dissonance. And I was trying to explain to him in 2007 why the Iraq War was a really bad thing and why we should not be doing all of these evil things. Because when our veterans come home and commit suicide, this is essentially saying they have been where no man should have gone. They were sent on illegal orders to do illegal things, and now they're living with it. So I think it's very important. I think it's very, very important that our citizens understand that we're entering a period now where we're almost – there's a wonderful book called Doing Democracy, which says that it's darkest before you actually emerge into the sunlight. That's where we're at. And I believe that we're within 4 years of emerging into being a vibrant democracy again.
Yeah, I really believe that because of the nature of the instant everywhere interactive capabilities of technology, of communications, that things can change very fast. And this concept of going viral or going, you know, going critical mass in the collective consciousness. And I think the key determining factor is most people's fear is that they don't want to change from the way things are because they don't have a clear vision of where things are going. And fear of the unknown,
It's worse than that. I think a lot of people, particularly people who still have a job, I mean, most people don't realize the actual unemployment rate in this country is 23%.
Yeah.
The government is lying when it says it's anything less than 7%. And when the government says, oh, we've created 250,000 new jobs, they fail to tell you that 500,000 people came on the market looking for jobs. So I recommend everyone take a look at shadowstats.com. It's a very, very good authoritative source of honest information about the economy. Now, where I think we really need to go is people need to understand that they have to take a stand. For example, I when I published my book, Open Power, I got a call from one of the top five Democratic leaders that I believe it would be an honest president. And I met for 90 minutes with that person in their office in on the Hill, and they basically acknowledged that I had the answer, and then they promptly went silent. After a 90-minute interview, I never heard from them again, and the conclusion that I have to come to is they decided they can make more money pursuing their access to other members of Congress than they can leading electoral reform, because that was my request of them, that they lead electoral reform. I've asked Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich and a few others to lead electoral reform. They have all refused. They're not willing to bite the hand that feeds them.
Well, this is also
the hand that's strangling us.
Well, this is across the board with status quo does not want to change from the way they're doing things. I mean, it's just that It's just almost,
yeah, but it's not a question of the status quo. It's a question of the individual citizens as enablers. And this is the point that I'm trying to make.
Oh,
there's
a
wonderful cartoon. There's a wonderful cartoon of the 99% standing on one end of the plank that is out over a cliff. And the 1% are out there on the other end of that plank, out over the cliff with their goal. All we have to do is get off the plank.
Yeah. All we have to do is get off the plank. And so you're saying that the best way to do that is with an election reform campaign.
Yes, I will tell you on the souls of my, on the heads of my children, on the souls of my ancestors, for all that is sacred about the future of America, the only fight that we can win, the only way to achieve a nonviolent, legal, ethical revolution in this country is through open power, electoral reform.
Open power, the open power, electoral reform. Wow. You know, that resonates with me. Like I said, I've been coming at it from a different angle, talking about how telecommunications, teleconscience, telecare, holistic health care, telecommerce, you know, this instant everywhere interactive dynamic globally, that in all these four archetypal aspects of government, education, healthcare, and the economy, that the communication process itself can involve and evolve the currency of conscience, which checks and balances, you know, all other currencies and all other basically valuations in education, healthcare, the economy, and you know, all our social, political, and economic institutions. It really comes down to the tools and processes for this are, of course, now possible, you know, for mass-to-mass interaction. And how that works, of course, I have multiple websites explaining, you know, that it's trending in this direction, you know, from the emphasis of hardware to software to netware, and now heartware, you know, an interactive interface for mass-to-mass communication would have to be standardized. And what that would look like and how that would work as far as involving and evolving social conscience and social networks. I mean, if it's all about social networks locally and collectively globally, and that the communication process itself is defining how we come into unity or not, it would just make sense that, you know, this is where the election reform, I mean, election is choice. So informed choice, if we haven't got informed choice in our social networks, we haven't got any freedom.
Yeah, but I'm very sorry, but there is not only is there not informed choice, there is no choice.
There is
the
no
two
choice.
The two-party tyranny is controlling a primary process.
Yep.
It's controlling a very corrupt electoral process. And I'll just mention, among the eight electoral reforms are paper ballots, ballot access for all independents and small parties, especially Constitution, Libertarian, and Green. I can't remember if I mentioned paper ballots, but Diebold is a fraud machine. Diebold
is a criminal
enterprise.
Since they did the electronic ballot, that there's been
criminal. And I will tell your listeners that mail-in ballots are also criminal, okay?
Yeah.
Mail-in election ballots are criminal. End of gerrymandering, end of campaign, end of corporate money, public funding for candidates, free public access for all qualified candidates to the airwaves and to print media. Those are public corporations that have a responsibility to the public. And finally, I think eventually instant runoff. We have to be able to vote our conscience and end up with majority leaders. Now, what's interesting to me is that the United Kingdom right now is having this massive angry debate because parties that got millions and millions of votes ended up with one member of parliament. This first past the post majority win stuff is corrupt. It's criminal.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Yeah. It's rigged.
It's rigged. Yes, I've been. In fact, my video to Occupy is on YouTube. If you look up Steele YouTube Electoral Reform Occupy, you'll get right to it. So let me just end. My final thought to your listeners is: I would love to have them come to Phi Beta Iota, the public intelligence blog. That's one place where citizens can be informed for free. The subscription is free. PhiBetaIota.net. And of course, I'd be glad if they looked into the book on Amazon, Open Power, and of course, my Open Source Everything manifesto. I believe that we have the solutions and we have the power within our grasp. What we lack right now is the character to seize the day.
Well, Robert, David Steele, you have been phenomenal today. I mean, you've covered the bases. And anyone's interesting, I know, can take those excellent references, links, places to go for more information and get a lot out of this. I'm so grateful you were on the show today that we would be able to work out this time. And I want to keep in touch. I think you're doing phenomenal stuff. I'll be following you.
Well, thank you, sir. God bless you and God bless America.
God bless America. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.